Hey everyone, this is Jen. You are about to listen to one of our three interstitials that we recorded after Faded Mates Live. In this one, we are tackling a question by Nikki Payne, who is one of our awesome guests. We had an awesome time and hope that you enjoy these interstitials that really are honoring like what we did that night, since the recordings, sadly, were compromised. However, it's super important to us that we also thank the authors and publishers who sent books and goodies so that almost every single person in the audience walked away with a free book. So a special huge thanks to Avon Books, Blue Box Press, Grand Central Forever, Gallery Books, and Penguin Random House, along with the following authors: Lauren Blakely, LJ Evans, Pippa Grant, Anna Huang, Parker Huntington, LJ Shen, L. Kennedy, Avery Maxwell, Ava Miles, Max Monroe, Catherine Nolan, Amari Nilex, Megan Quinn, Piper Rain, P. Rain, Stephanie Rose, Lucy Score, and T. L. Swan. Faded Mates would not have been what it was without you. We thank everyone for attending and everyone who made it one of the best nights of our year. Without further ado, here is this week's episode. Headphones in. I'm just going to start right here.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Headphones in. Mm-hmm. Go into our room. Just lock the door.
Oh, boy. Nikki Payne. Who would have guessed?
Listen, I also feel like pee now, because this might be one where you cry, like laugh so hard.
Oh, maybe.
Like, really prepare yourselves, everybody, because this one's going to be a banger.
Yeah. So to speak.
Ha-ha.
Everyone, we talked last week about like Faded Mates, how the live recordings were corrupted, and so we don't have the final recording. And this is not us, like, it's not like anything crazy happened. I mean, a lot of crazy things happen in Faded Mates, but nothing. Right. We are not being coy. Like, it literally doesn't exist. And so we decided that this is beneficial to everyone, because what it means is that you all get three interstitials instead of just like one live recording where you maybe can't hear very much because everybody's laughing like uproariously the whole time. So anyway, that's what today is. Welcome everyone to Faded Mates. I'm Sarah McLean. I read romance novels and I write them.
I'm Jennifer Prokop, a romance reader and editor. And this week we are going to be tackling Nikki Payne's interstitial topic. And just like the Nikki Payne
of it all
experience. Yes.
Nikki Payne, you, everybody got a little taste of this though a while back, where like we had Nikki Payne on the listen. Here's the thing: Nikki comes on to the show, she speaks like perfectly and intellectually about Jane Austen.
Sure, right, because it's, you know, she does Jane Austen adaptations.
Yeah, and we do a really thoughtful episode on home renovation. And then she turns up at Faded Mates Live wearing a sequin jumpsuit.
At, like, full power.
So, like, when we say Nikki Payne is the full package.
You know how you can, I think you've done this, you can, like, marry people or whatever. Nikki Payne should get herself licensed and, like, marry people.
Oh, my God, she would be a great marriage officiant. Wait, have I told that story on the podcast?
I think so. But who knows? Tell it again, because it's probably been a while.
During the pandemic. So, okay, I, like many people, friends got married many years ago. Actually, weirdly, two friends got married a week apart from each other. And okay. They both asked me to officiate the wedding, which was really lovely. And so I became ordained as a minister in the state of New York so that I could do this through, like, you know, there's an online church. We'll put the links in the show notes, but there's an online church where basically...
For Nikki.
Yeah, for Nikki to just... Yeah. Anyway, so then during that... And then I did that and that was great. And then I got into that period of my life where all of my friends were, you know, partnered or, you know, had decided they were going to marry or not marry. And so, like, it was not useful in any way. And then during the pandemic... the governor of New York signed a like emergency order saying that because of COVID, marriages could be performed via Zoom.
Amazing.
In the state of New York, which was amazing. So I got on Twitter and I was like, hey, everyone, let's get married. Like, I'm a romance novelist and an ordained minister. I will marry you over Zoom. And do you know I performed 4 weddings for total strangers during the pandemic?
I do not think you... I knew this.
Yeah, it was amazing. I performed... and I will say this. There were a couple that were like, we really just need health insurance. So we're like locking this down now. And then we're going to do like a real wedding quote later.
Right, of course.
Like, that was fine. I support, you know, listen, healthcare for all, however you can get it. But then there were like, there was one couple and they were having a baby and they were like, we really want to get married before the baby comes. And it was like 2 weeks before she was supposed to deliver. And so we did that. And then I drove out to like someone's house and did it in their yard. This lovely couple who knew Rebecca Weatherspoon randomly. That's not how they found me. But like when I got there, they were like, do you know Rebecca Weatherspoon? And I was like, we have met. It was amazing. So listen, fun times, but also if you're out there and you want Sarah McLean to officiate your wedding, I'm cheap. Read free because I fucking love it.
Why wouldn't you?
Anyway, amazing. Yeah, having Nikki officiate your wedding would be great.
Only if she came in that jumpsuit. I literally, at the end of the night, was like, are you going to like get on a flight to Vegas and like marry people at the Elvis Chapel? Because it was so great.
Yeah. There's a picture of her standing like, what is it, Ryder?
Like in profile or something,
yeah, from
right?
Star Trek. And she's got her leg up and she's just pure, like she's just energy, like amazing, sexy jalapeno energy. I love it.
Yeah, it was amazing. So the night of Fate of May 5, we asked each of our panelists to tell us a like an interstitial that they wish that we would do without knowing.
Wait,
and then
before
we
do the interstitial, yeah. I think we should talk a little more about. So like, can we also just say like Nikki told this great story at Fate of May 5 about how she met her husband and how she has like the most enemies to lovers romance trope story ever.
They were dueling park rangers.
And she was being Nikki, like thoughtful and like prepared and had done all her research on Valley Forge. And he was like, let's talk about guns. And they hated each other. And they had separate tour buses. And they would, and people would come and they would want to get on his tour bus because his tour, her bus was like the history of Valley Forge. And his bus was like, let's talk about guns. And so people would want to go with him. And she hated it. And then
I'm sorry,
the buses
so
merged.
Hard.
And there was only one bus. And they had to share the bus and the tour. And they hated each other, but then they fell in love.
I hope they got married on a bus. That would have been awesome.
Listen, somebody's valley got forged is all I'm saying.
You know what's great? That actually could have been in like a romance novel from like 1987.
What? Forging a valley?
Yeah.
He forged her valley. Yeah.
Oh my God. Somebody's going to write that next week and put it on Kindle Unlimited. Well, here's the other part. So this is funny. On the Discord, we like mentioned that people like the audio files were like lost, and people then started like reminiscing about their favorite part of it, which was great because then the people who weren't there, and it kind of reminded me of things too. And the thing that everybody has to understand is because of the way the room was set up, we were sitting like behind the actual physical speakers. And so sometimes it was hard for us to hear each other a little bit, right? Just because
the room
of the way
so loud,
the,
yeah,
like the whatever, the acoustics of the room. So there were times I was kind of like, I can tell Nikki's telling a really funny story, but I wasn't hitting like every detail, right? And I was also like, you and I were kind of like looking at the time and the schedule and trying to keep everything moving. And so she told also a really funny, like she had this really funny thing that she, we were talking about like best friends, like best friend's sister or whatever, mm-hmm. right? Your, you know, best friend's older brother or whatever. And she was talking about how she calls that trope community vagina.
Yeah, but what I should say is that instead of, she didn't lead with best friend's brother. She was like, I'd like you to talk about community vagina. And we were all
and
like,
we were all like, I was like, excuse me, did I just hear her?
What is that? What? That's a new phrase.
I can't hear what she's saying because she said community vagina. And basically amazing. What she's talking about was, you know, like the patriarchy, like the way that trope is sort of like we all have a say in what this woman is going to do with her love life, right? Essentially, it was like a very serious kind of critique of like that trope and the idea that like any, you know, that like an older brother would have any kind of say in like who gets involved with his sister, whatever, like, right? Like the community has a say. Mm-hmm. And it, of course, though I'm telling that in a not funny way, the entire audience was roaring. So I know that it was in a very funny story instead. But it was great to have like people on the Discord, like sort of remembering these really funny moments. Because, of course, when you're, you know, for us, it was like, okay, this is funny. This is good. Let's manage. What's next? Right. Like, and so to have like kind of the joy of people's like, this is the funniest part for me, or I love this part. It was really fun to have people revisit that. So,
yeah, as you know, if you listened to last week's episode, we asked each of the people on the panel to select an interstitial that they either wish they could do with us or they would like to hear us do. And we had them ask us on the fly. We were not prepared. And then we did the interstitial for them there, like a quick, Jen recommended a book and then I recommended a book. And Nikki really almost stumped us, I think, in the initial go.
Yes. Because what she asked for essentially was like sentient object romance.
Inanimate object romance.
Yes. And we are both like, wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah. And what's amazing about this is that, but then what was fascinating is then like people started saying like, was it you? You started with a sex toy romance.
I was like, okay, I'm going to answer this really broadly. And what I talked about was a book that like lived rent free in my brain for a really long time. And I've never talked about it. And the funny part about this is I was sort of like, of course, in classic Fated Mates fashion, I was like, who's the person who wrote all those like really sexy cowboy romances? And someone in the audience was like, Lorelei James.
Oh, my God. Like, that was incredible.
Like, right. Because, of course, it was like with very little information.
Well, and what's interesting about talking about those Lorelei James books, though, like when you're before we knew we could remember her name, it doesn't quite land the way they landed before, because they're all brothers or cousins, like they're related.
Yeah.
And the swords don't cross, which apparently in like 2004 was
that's the way it was. All,
no, but like if you had sex with your brother and another person and your swords didn't cross, then it wasn't having sex with your brother. And so
I think that's still the way it goes. Like I've read a few of these recently, I'm sorry to say.
Well, but I feel like there are fewer of them now. But then yeah, oh, for it sure. was like there was like a spate of them.
Yeah.
And like it was fine.
Yeah, this is called, was this like the, I don't remember the name of the series, like Rough and Ready or something like that. Like Lorelei James used to really, she brings the heat. But this was not, I was like, this was only for me to get to what was next. And I couldn't remember the name of this book, but I've since did some research. It's called Miss Firecracker by Lorelei James. And I was like, okay, so in this book, and this was like the first time I really rediscovering romance, having no idea that like romance Twitter existed or that there are ways to talk about these books with people. I just was like on my own reading these books and finding things like I'd never seen before. I was an innocent summer, sweet summer child. And in Miss Firecracker, they are in a bar. And it turns out her name's Willow and Miss Firecracker is a beauty contest. And she wins and she like ends up like having like crazy one night stand with a guy named Blake, who's a bartender. And here's the scene I remember is they're in the bar and they're fooling around. No one else is there. I think it's like after hours. And he takes cherries, maraschino cherries, Sarah, from the bar and like inserts them in her vagina.
Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of discussion at this point at Fate of Mates Live about one, like how that is really like it's just cruising for a yeast infection. And then also, were there not stems involved?
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing. Apparently, and I didn't realize
Jen did not know. Jen could not remember.
I was like, you expect me to remember that level of detail?
I'm guessing, though, there were, because I think he'd have to be able to like bite them out.
Here's the other part, though. This is the part you may not have realized. I apparently
Headphones in, everyone.
Apparently was making a very lewd gesture with two fingers.
Yes. We are going to post this picture. We think we have a photograph. Of-
and Kate was like, put that away. Put those away. My fingers. She was just like, what's happening right now? What are you doing to fingers? And I don't think anyone realized, but the two of us, it was really fucking funny. So
I'm pretty sure there is a picture of Kate telling you to put your fingers away. And we'll maybe if you look down at your podcast app right now,
you can see it. I was like, it's a gun. It's a finger gun. What are you doing? Now, I realized that was just sort of a warm up because I was like, I know this isn't what Nikki's talking about, but I did really, it is the first thing that came to mind. And I think it was because one of the things I just, like I said, realized is like romance had really changed. I remember like it vividly really remember changed. Reading that book and being like, romance had really changed since I was younger.
Yeah. Well, those Lorelai James books were like that.
This week's episode of Fate of Mates is sponsored by Jennifer Safri, author of Against All Obstacles.
Sarah, listen to this. We've got Rachel and Evan sitting in a bar.
Oh, I like it. Are they K-I-S-S-I-N bars?
Not yet. They are hanging out and, you know, he kind of like picks her up a little bit and is like, so what are you here for? Like business. And he, it turns out, he's like kind of bragging a little bit, is there for a 24-hour endurance race called the Golden Crucible, where like they don't know what the race is. It's 48 hours long and you just like have to like climb over stuff and dig and I run. Who knows? They don't know anything about it.
I would never do this.
I wouldn't either. But you know who would? Rachel. And she basically catfishes him into telling her about the race, but does not admit that that's what she's there for either, because it's all these dudes. And I have got to tell you, I was reading the sample and I'm instantaneously going to read this book. I cannot wait to read it. So she's 45 and is basically like super competitive and can't with these men who think, you know, that she should just defer to them because she's a woman. And he is 38. He's given up on love. He's not the commitment type. And they are going to run the Golden Crucible together. And I've got to tell you, I cannot wait.
Well, listen, this one is perfect for anybody who's looking for rivals to lovers, for sports romance, for forced proximity in only one tent, Jen.
That's right.
And who is looking for some pretty physically badass seasoned characters. As Jen said, Rachel is 45 and Evan is 38. You can find this book in print or in ebook wherever you get your books. And if your podcast app supports it, you can click on the chapter title right now to be taken directly to purchase the book. Thanks to Jennifer Safri for sponsoring this week's episode.
Okay, so I have a few in hindsight, but I'll tell you the one that I talked about at Fate of Mates Live was Unhinged by Vera Valentine. So, and it was funny because I started just to describe it and I got like somebody from the audience was like, no, that's not how. And I was like, no, but it is. I'm just backing into it. It's fine. Anyway, it's a romantic suspense novel because, of course, it is. And it's told in the first person point of view of a door.
Sure. Obviously.
Of the door. I've talked about this on the podcast, so I'm not going to get too into it. But long story short, the door to this apartment is in love with the woman who lives inside the apartment. And she is in danger from the landlord of the superintendent of the apartment complex has like murdered somebody inside the apartment complex before. And the door is very concerned that she is next and it doesn't know like how to save her. It can't save her. It's just a door because it's a door. So it watches her and like there's some voyeurism that Jen would kind of enjoy where like she like takes off her clothes and he's obsessed with her. The door is obsessed with her. And then his father comes to visit and his father is Zeus. who comes to him and says like, oh, well, you're sentient because you were made from the wood of a tree that I fucked. I fucked a nymph or something about tree nymphs. And then my wife cursed the nymph into, made her into a tree, which then grew and grew and then was cut down and turned into you, the door. And the way that you can become a human again, or you can become a human and break the curse, is if you have the woman in your apartment fuck you, the door. And so great. So he goes to her. Yeah. So he goes to her in her dreams and basically like convinces her that she should do this. And she's very limber, thankfully, because there's only one protrusion on a door. And like, as you know, as you are imagining, that is what needs to happen. And what I appreciate about this is two things. One, the heroine of this book does clean the knob, like very, and that's not a euphemism. It's like she literally like Clorox wipes the knob. And two, she does think about prophylactic use. Like she's like, should I put a condom on this knob?
Well, you would have to after putting a Clorox wipe on it. I mean, everybody, listen, that is a hard surface. That's something you use to clean a hard surface.
Well, I mean,
I'm just saying you cannot put. Yeah.
So anyway, so there's a lot of like, so I want to check for like safe sex. There's a checkbox in that column here. And then anyway, so she does, and then he does become human, but then there's no door on her apartment. And then things happen. So that's called Unhinged and also is unhinged. So you can get that in KU, surprising no one.
Nikki, let me talk directly to Nikki.
Yeah.
Hello, Nikki. I went down a bit of a rabbit hole, and that's not a euphemism either, about these books, which are called sentient object romances. And the reason I know this is because I came across... Okay, so first of all, we're always talking about our Discord, but... On our Discord, there is a channel called The Shit is Bananas, where they talk about like, the most bananas romances they can find. And the way it works is like they all giggle over like some of the topics. And then what happens is people will like take the hit on reading them and like sort of like give a funny summary to everybody else. Mm-hmm. And I want you to know that like there's some really funny commentary. Like, so... Ren today said, because I was like, hey, everybody, I'm mining in here, right? And Ren said, does anyone else think about that mug one a lot? Like, for some reason, it really has a grip on me.
Mug?
And a mug, right? I'm getting there. And then someone else said, I think about that, Dom the Knight said, I think about that dinosaur one where the other dinosaur eats her at the end, like the non-sexy eating. And then Clay chimes in and said, the little detail that lives in my brain is the flamingo shifter who takes a daily vitamin pill so he'll stay pink. And I just was like, I'm in the right place.
All of these are perfect and I'm going to download them all.
Yes. So one of the big things that started that channel, though, was a male-male paranormal wolf shifter romance called All He Wants for Christmas is a Fingerling. And it's about a potato shifter.
Weird. That feels like you could be boiled and eaten at any time. It's risky. That's a risky identity.
Sure. Right. So anyway, it's basically what happens is. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying. Here's what I am saying, though. Then I understood that the sub genre is sentient romance, sentient mm-hmm. object romance. Mm-hmm. And I came across some people who specialize in this. So there is an author named Holly Wild, and she wrote a book called Banging My Birthday Bear, Caked. These are different books. And also Seduced by the Soldiers in the Snow Globe and The Deviled Egg Made Me Do It.
No!
Yes.
No, Holly, that crosses a line.
Now, I have not really read any of these.
No, listen, don't put deviled eggs inside you, everyone.
I don't even.
You know what? We set headphones in, but also like
common sense.
And listen, like there needs to be another thing. It's not like check your content warnings. It's like just don't put food inside you.
No, right, exactly. But it's interesting. And a lot of these are like
going to get fucked.
A lot of these are. I'm also fascinated. Like, here's one, Mating with the Mallows by Nora Noodle, where I think they're peeps.
That's another yeast infection.
Of course. And these are all like 20 pages long, and they just come out on Kindle Unlimited. Like, you know, there's no tomorrow. And I think because of the door romance.
I think it's also worth saying that this is a Chuck Tingle specialty. So we've never talked about Chuck Tingle on the podcast because, like, I don't know. We've never talked about Chuck Tingle on the podcast, but many people probably know about Chuck Tingle, these like tiny little short, like, would we call them erotica? They're like erotic comedies, literally anytime anything happens in the news, they're like immediate, within 24 hours, there's a Chuck Tingle, like teeny tiny novella about it. Like I just looked him up this morning, and there's one, I'll read it aloud because the titles are all the same. They're all like pounded in the butt by, this one is called "The Physical Manifestation of Wordle Pounds My Butt as a Slightly Frustrating but Ultimately Rewarding and Meditative Daily Routine."
I mean, Chuck Tingle really has a way of words.
Right. Pounded in the butt by my bizarre assumption that Chuck Tingle books are just covers and not actual books. Pounded in the butt by my handsome, sentient library card, who seems otherworldly, but in reality is just a natural part of the priceless resources that our library system provides. Like, and then like,
what a treasure.
It became the, if I'm remembering correctly, the first one was like, there was like a dinosaur. It was like
a dinosaur, I think. Yeah.
And then people were just like, what is this? And now, you know, Chuck is a 2-time Hugo Award finalist, and people find him very like compelling and interesting. And so I think like the sentient thing, Chuck really like began it as a joke in many ways. Like it was like, this is humor.
Right.
And then romance, like always, was like, how do we make it really actually sexy?
Yeah. Well, and I think the thing that's interesting, I'll also say, everybody knows that Chuck Tingle has since written a couple of like real books, like a horror novel, I think, this Camp Damascus book, and there's another one coming out called Barrier Gaze.
By Tor?
Yeah, I think so. So, like, it's not all just silly Kindle Unlimited
but
stuff.
But a lot
like,
of them are.
A lot of it, yeah. I mean, I think the thing I was thinking about then is I found myself thinking, like, what, like, why is this so funny to us, right? Like, why is this, like, the ultimate inside joke in romance, right? Like, because a lot of this stuff, obviously, is supposed to be silly and not sexy. I mean, the Maraschino Cherries, I think, was supposed to be sexy, and I just was like, stay safe, right? But I was kind of like, I think it has to do with, like, look, in romance, sex is often, like, I'm trying to think how to say this, like, in a not silly way, right?
Right.
Sex is, like, the most meaningful thing, right? So you are going to have the best sex of your life with this person. What, you know, your relationship with this person is going to be so meaningful, and like the sex is going to be great, and it's never going to be as good with anybody else. It's never been as good with anybody else, right? And I think there's a way in which like part of the reason this is so funny to us is because it's really poking at like that idea, which is in romance pretty silly, like, right, when you think about it. Like, you can have great sex and not be in love, everybody. We know that, right?
Yeah.
But, like, the fantasy is that that's always the case. So I was like, is that why it's funny? Just because it's like, come on. You can have great sex with a door if you try hard enough. Who knew?
Right.
So I don't know.
I mean, I think this is interesting, right? Because I do think there's something about, like, point of view in here. Like, the sentience of, like, I think they're, okay. I actually think the door romance is really interesting because, like, the obsession that the door has with the character, the, like, protagonist, although it's in the door's point of view. So, like, I think that obsession is something that, like, we are, as romance readers really like an obsessed hero,
yeah,
right? Like, look at all the stalker romance that is popular today. But it's not just new. Like, this is an old fashioned thing, like, where, like, the hero is just, like, gone for the heroine from the jump. And so I think there is sort of that. I think there's also this kind of very modern, I think it's a really modern response to, or it is a response to, like, modern dating also in a lot of ways. Like, the idea that, like, somebody would just be, like, that you could sort of, like, create from your internal space, right? Like, we're all staring at our rectangles and, like, you know, swiping left or right. But the truth is that, like, the idea that we could choose something from our, you know, known world and then, like, produce what is ultimately a perfect mate from it is something very powerful, right? Like, we can avoid all the muck. We can avoid all of the, you know, psychologically damaging, like, experience of dating in the modern world and, like, just find the thing we want from our, like,
yeah.
It's like, you know, if you've ever, like, had a pet and been like, oh, if this pet were, like, human, they would be perfect. They would be, like, my best friend, or they would be my, like, perfect mate.
This week's episode of Fated Mates is brought to you by Blue Box Press, publishers of Touch Me by Jay Kenner, a Stark International novella.
So Jay Kenner's kind of known for being able to, like, write a book that just, like, stabs you right in the heart and, like, twists a knife. And this one sounds very much right there in her wheelhouse. Former wild child Jamie Archer has, like, come out of this, like, teenage wackiness and, like, now has this great life. She is married basically to the man she thinks is the sexiest guy ever, security chief for Stark International, Ryan Hunter. I mean, I'm for it. But on top of all that, her career is, like, flying high. She is set to star in a huge blockbuster film. Filming is already on the calendar. Everything is perfect, except Jamie finds out she's pregnant and it is unplanned. And that her due date interferes with the film's production schedule. So if she's going to have this baby, she is not going to be able to star in this movie and change her career.
So I'm sure she has lots of things she has to think about, Sarah.
So she's thinking about it and she doesn't tell Ryan right away. But he finds out from the paparazzi.
Oh, no.
Who, like, shout questions at him.
Oh, no.
He is pissed and very hurt. And very afraid she's going to choose, like, this career over him and, you know, their family. Listen, this sounds like it's big feelings, lots of thoughts.
Yeah,
lots
that's amazing.
Of sadness. And am I going to read it? Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely am.
So if you are interested in an unexpected pregnancy causing a marriage to be in trouble, this contemporary billionaire celebrity romance is for you. It is available in print or ebook, wherever books are sold. And if your podcast app supports it, you can click on the title right now to be taken to a link to buy the books. Thanks to Blue Box Press and Jay Kenner for sponsoring this week's episode. As children, right? Like, think about the movie Toy Story, right? Mm. Like, the idea that, like, our toys had a life without us when we were not around.
Yeah.
Right? That they were, like, really real. I mean, this is essentially, like, a grown-up version of
yeah.
that.
Well, so there's a Gargoyle book that I was trying to find, and, like, somebody is going to have to tell me if this is the one. I actually am not sure it is, because there are so many Gargoyle books now. Mm. But, like, a while back, I read a Gargoyle book where, like, he was an actual stone gargoyle
yeah.
who watched over her. Like, she would come in and out of the building and he was, like, obsessed with her. Emily Hemingway's Flesh and Stone is one that I have. It's on my Kindle. So I was like,
yeah,
okay,
I read that one.
This
now.
Is probably it. And he, you know, magic has turned, he's been cursed, he's been turned into a gargoyle. Like, ultimately, they break the curse, but he stays gray, which I think is fascinating. So he still has that, like, monster feel, but, like, is just, like, a soft boy inside. Like, I mean, like, he's just a sweet cinnamon roll of a, I don't know, it's like, obsessed monster. And so I think like there's that, I think, and that actually I do. That's like, that is a very sexy book. Like the sex in it is very explicit. And if you're interested in like monster romance in general, and you haven't read that one, like it's, I don't know, 60 pages long and the sex is good. But also Gina Showalter wrote one called The Stone Prince. Did you ever read that?
Mm-mm.
I got to look up when that came out. But the hero in that one is enchant. He's like been cursed to like live inside an enchant, like a statue. And so he's, that one's a little bit different. It's a little more like in the Joanna Lindsay Until Forever vein, where the, like in that one, the heroine is a Viking, like a medieval, or like, you know, not medieval, but like a Viking academic, and she gets her hands on like a Viking sword, and like she, the moment she touches it, she
gets her hands on a Viking sword. Sarah, good one, Sarah.
Okay, so
sorry, I'm very serious, everyone.
She gets her hands on a Viking sword, and then suddenly there's a Viking, and she gets her hands on a different Viking sword. Yes, so yeah, these Showalters were 2004. So a long time ago, you know, God, 20 years ago. So basically, it's the same concept, like a warrior a bunch of years, like, you know, centuries ago was cursed and imprisoned in stone.
Very Han Solo.
Very Han Solo.
I'm sorry, it is. Like, it's foundational for a lot of us. We know, no shame, everyone.
That's fair. And like, and she, you know, she's a house flipper. So this is a renovation romance, right? And she's into statues. And what I mean by into statues, I mean like into them. And
the marbles.
And the statues, these statues are all statues of people who have, if I remember correctly, like have erections, like they're all like graphically designed. Anyway, so she like feels up this statue, and then poof, he's human. And that's unsettling for a house flipper in 2004. And then honestly, I don't remember what happens, but I do remember her like basically like jerking off a statue, and then he's human.
Sure. As one does.
Bless Gina. Bless Gina, yeah. Showalter. Cressy Cole's a woman ahead of her friend. Time. So
a woman ahead of her time, really, when you think about it. Can I talk about Light Me Up by Sabrina Cross? Because this one is definitely in the door
category,
which is, it's about a lamp named Lux. Mm-hmm. This is like a, according to at least the way it looks on the cover, kind of a, like a desk lamp with like a, you know, I don't know, like a desk lamp. Okay. Not like a lamp with a shade. I guess I'm trying to say like a, you know, with a, I don't know,
like
a
metal. Like a Pixar lamp?
Yeah, there you go. Okay. And the thing is it says it's a, oh, there's a description. Listen. A studio design task light made of aluminum alloy featuring a weighted base, an adjustable arm with external springs, and a 360-degree rotating head.
Is this in the catalog copy?
No, this is in Caroline's very thorough retelling on the Discord.
Okay, good.
And this is the part that really caught my attention and made me open it up on my Kindle. It's in Kindle Unlimited. Is Lux... Essentially, when he was first plugged in, the house was struck by Thor's lightning.
Oh, as happens.
And that is what has made him.
Thor in there?
No. Jake, whatever, Dave, Jake, same guy, is the hero.
Some white guy.
And he is the one who first turned Lux on. Get it?
I get it. I'm following.
Yes. And so that is how they become to be in love, Lux and Jake. So, you know, I mean, I would just say, everybody, listen, all I can think of is like, really, please do not. This is very dangerous. It's just all very dangerous, everyone. Very dangerous. But apparently a lot of these people are giving us firm warnings, right?
Don't insert. And listen, are the content warnings in these books like don't insert like
yeah. Listen, I'm going to read the content
into
warning
your vag.
From Sabrina Cross. It says, the author in no way encourages sexual activity with a lamp or any other electric appliances.
Perfect.
Actually, they strongly discourage it, and anyone who happens to get injured for trying it can no way blame the author for their own poor decision making. This is a work of fiction, not a how-to manual. People, use your brains. So, I mean, Perfect. It's just, there you go, just for fun.
Perfect.
I don't know. So there are tons of these. I kind of fell down the Chuck Tingle rabbit hole and clicked on one called My Macaroni and Cheese is a Lesbian and Also She's My Lawyer. And I kind of want to read it. I also read a 20-page book this morning, 26 pages, sorry, called The House, an erotic ghost story by Adrienne Blue, because I thought it would be The House, but it was not. It was a ghost in the house. And the ghost is going to stay a ghost the whole time. And they have ghost sex. I mean, she's real.
In the vein of Viking swords, there's also, I think, a medieval sword. One that's written by T. Kingfisher called Swordheart. And she, the heroine of that one, there's like a, no, the hero of that one is an immortal, like, warrior, and he has been cursed to be trapped inside this like sword, and she, the heroine, like picks up the sword and here's the thing about these swords. If you activate a sword, it's a little like a genie lamp where like you rub it in it. Nope. I heard it.
I was like, keep going.
I get it, but it's a little like a genie lamp. Where, like, then the hero, when they, like, come out of the sword, they are mystically bound to you in some way, right? Mm-hmm. So in this one, she has a villain. There's a villain. And he is mystically bound to protect her. And then I guess the question is, like, can she keep him outside the sword? Feels like it'd be pretty great to be able to put a man back in a sword, though. Be like, now you return to your sword.
Yeah, go back to your sword. Cold storage. The ultimate cold storage. I want to return to Hollywood. Like, listen, I've not read these books, everybody. Nikki, I have not read these books. I can just tell you about them.
But Nikki, if you go read them, then you can come on the podcast and tell us about it.
There's one by this Hollywood called Steel Stirrups, My Robo-Gyno Romance.
Oh,
and
no.
In it, she is she's a robotics engineer. And she's at the gynecologist with L Cyborg. And anyway. The cyborg is her gynecologist. She's a robotics engineer and a person.
But the what? No, I don't want a cyborg a gynecologist.
No. And here's what it says, though. It says it's some sort of opportune moment. The space-time continuum collapses while she is in the gynecologist.
It's like having an earthquake during a vasectomy.
Yes, I was going to say, like that guy. I mean, sir, I hope you're well. Anyway, and it says that it made a robotic creature form before her, and form it does using every scrap of metal available to piece together its massive humanoid body, including the speculum wedged between her thighs. And I was like, this does not sound sexy at all.
So what happens to the speculum?
I don't know. It becomes part of the cyborg. I bet it becomes a certain part of the cyborg.
An important
I know how this
part.
Goes. Yeah. And I think I'm fascinated really, though, by like, I guess, bless the people who are reading these books on Goodreads. Because if I read these, I would just be like a lark. I don't think I would be like, let me go rate that on Goodreads. It has 9 ratings and 5 reviews. It came out February 4th. I mean, it just came out, a few weeks ago.
All right. Well,
because, you know, you can just really.
Okay.
Just there's Taken by the Water. I'm just like, now that I'm on this on Goodreads, it's just showing me more of them.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what are we doing, everybody? Stuffed, A Living Pillow Romance.
That one I've heard of. I mean, that's sort of, you know. I guess that makes sense in a sense. Does any of it make sense? I don't even know. Sometimes we do these episodes and I think to myself like, oh, romance. I mean, are they all good decisions?
Yeah. I'm going to take a picture right now and send it to you. I'm sending you the I'm sending you the cover of something that is the most filthy thing I've ever seen in my life, Sarah. It's called Frisky the Snowman.
Yes. Yes. And it's a it's a carrot, and it has a white dripping tip, which I think is supposed to be both snow and possibly something else. But let me tell you something. This was not picked up by the Amazon AI scraper. It was not. They were like, oh, that's clearly a carrot dipped in
carrot
tzatziki sauce or something. Sure.
This week's episode of Faded Mates is brought to you by Stephanie Rose, author of Raising the Bar.
So this one's a real small town romance. So small of a town that police officer Jude Davis has basically spends all his days kind of like running around protecting and serving this tiny little community. And on top of it, in the afternoons or in the evenings, he's taking care of his ailing father, all on the heels of a really rough divorce during which he's kind of sworn off love altogether. What's unfortunately true is that the rest of the small town are absolutely meddling matchmakers who have not sworn off the possibility of setting Jude up on numerous, like, terrible dates.
Uh-oh.
But luckily, Claudia rolls into town, this sunshiny, beautiful woman who has returned to this small town in order to lick her wounds. She's lost her job in Brooklyn, and she's getting herself together. She's going to go back to New York. She's going to make a go of it again. But she just needs a little time to, like, rest and feel better about herself. Well, Jude has an idea. He says, Claudia, why don't you just pretend to be my girlfriend for a little while? We can both kind of like, I'll take you out. We'll have some fun. But also, all these people will just stop bothering me. And this all sounds like a really like tight plan that's not going to go wrong at all, except benefits come with this particular fake dating that Jude suddenly isn't that interested in turning down. So what's going to happen when Claudia decides that she's got to go?
Well, everybody, if you love fake dating, small town, grumpy sunshine, but like Mr. Grumpy has a big touch her and die attitude with no third act breakup, which many readers love, then you should definitely check out Raising the Bar. It is available in print, ebook, and audio, or with your monthly subscription to Kindle Unlimited. And if your podcast app supports it, you can click on the title right now to be taken to a link to buy the book. Thank you to Stephanie Rose for sponsoring this week's episode.
Stephanie was at Faded Mates Live.
She sure was. It was so great to meet her.
We loved meeting you, Stephanie.
Anyway, my friends,
we've really exhausted our complete
just the job, I guess.
So this is a short episode, but these are short books.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we've really given people a lot to think about. How about that? Here's a question. If you were going to make the perfect sentient inanimate object romance.
Yeah.
What is the inanimate object you would turn into a being? Feels like a romance novel could do this. Like, it'd be meta, be really meta. But like, these are kind of weird and meta in strange ways.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the whole AI Who Loved Me, like right by Alyssa Cole. I mean, like the whole idea of like a robot. I mean, you were talking about Anibot. This is like hardly an unusual topic. Like,
it is. Here's the problem with those AI books, like the robot books, is like they get too close. I think here, Anibot was in no way a romance because the consent piece was so problematic. And I mean, intentionally, this is not me calling the book problematic. Like, it's intentionally problematic in the book. Because of course it is, right? Because like at some point, if a robot really does become sentient, they are going to be aware of the fact that they are under your like servitude, right?
Right.
So robots are like too close. It's too close. But like, what about, but like, I think you could you could do like inanimate object is cursed.
I don't know how to answer that without just sounding like I'm completely deranged, to be honest, Sarah. I'm just like, what am I supposed to say? A vacuum cleaner has great suction? I just don't know.
Yes, that's exactly the correct answer.
All right, well, there you go, everybody.
I do think that it's something like, I would like to see like romance novel becomes living creature, like becomes like living creature, because it has all the dirty talk.
It has it all right in there, Have you ever seen that movie? Do you remember that movie, Lars and the Real Girl?
I never saw it.
It's a really interesting movie. And it's like, I have, in general, in my life, I tend to steer clear of stories like this. Like, I just, like the one, like Anibot or whatever. Like, I'm just, I don't know. Like, yeah, it's a robot, but too real, right? Like,
well,
too real.
I couldn't watch AI, that movie with Jude Law. I got to literally like in the first like 5 minutes of it, there's this there's like a teddy bear and the kids are like torturing it. And I was like, I can't do this.
I can't do this, right? Like, there's something about it, right? Mm-hmm. But so I tended to avoid these movies, but this is like that movie really like won me over. It's with Ryan Gosling. So I think part of it maybe was the acting. Mm-hmm. But he basically has like a blow up girlfriend kind of doll. And everyone in this tiny little town he's in just sort of like takes it seriously, right? Treats it like it's real. And then eventually he gets a real girlfriend and he like, you know, kind of moves on. And it was like, just a strange movie. Like sometimes you're like, I miss the days when we made strange movies and wrote strange books. And I think part of it, and that's like maybe the other thing that these are like, right? Like they're just like real strange and silly and people just have wild imaginations. And, you know, a mug is a mug until it's your boyfriend. I don't know.
I do think that there's something to the rise of this post-pandemic, though.
Yeah.
Like,
right?
We're just sitting in our houses thinking about how hard it is to, like, meet and, like, have like, emotional connection with other people.
Because we're using our devices and our, right?
Yeah.
Like, everything is.
That's what I was saying. And it sounds like, it just seems like it's so... It all feels so the same, like every day is the same, that the idea that like, you know, your jar of peanut butter pretzels might just become a thing. Don't put them in your
no
badge.
Food.
Don't
no
put
food,
them in your
everybody.
Badge.
Oh, God. Well, and I think, you know, I will say the other
Jen
thing.
Jen and Sarah, your moms,
thinking,
your sex moms, just telling you, like, don't. Put it in your badge.
There are like nice sex toys you can buy that are safe for you to use.
Exactly.
Everyone. That's what we're going to say. Exactly. Like, right? Oh my goodness. Too much. Everything, of course, now that I'm sitting here looking around my house, everything just looks real dirty. Like, look at this. Look at my headphone stand, Sarah.
It's very pointy, though, in parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. look at my mug. My straw
your
mug.
Stanley.
It's not a Stanley.
It's a Stanley. The girls are gonna really bully you at school for that.
It's a Hydro Flask. Because you know what it is? The big Stanley is too big. It's huge. This one is like 30 ounces instead of 60 or whatever.
Listen, the way I do not care about this water bottle discourse.
Like, I know, me neither.
There are real things happening in the world, everyone.
I know. I don't care at all. I actually ordered another one, though, because I did have one that I thought I'd like the color. And then I was like, I like this pink one. So now I have one for home and one for school.
Perfect. Fine. Well, I lost my water bottle at Theta Mates Live. So I bought another one. And now it is yellow instead of white. And that is the depths of my water bottle discourse.
That's all we care about. Yeah. Well,
anyway, and the fact that
don't
my
put
child,
up your badge.
I'm not going to put up my badge. So there's no risk of that. So anyway, everyone. Anyway, we really love Theta Mates Live. We said this on the last episode, but we hired a photographer to come take pictures of the crowd. And the pictures are incredible. And we will put a few more in show notes today. But I gotta say, it was really, really fun time. We loved having Nikki with us, as you can hear. You can read both of Nikki's books. She has written two of them. They are both Austen retellings. The first is called Pride and Protest. The second is called Sex, Lies, and Sensibility. They are both terrific books that really like do all the work of romance and are also just like sexy and great. And you can listen to her interstitial with us on Renovation Romance. We will leave you. Maybe we should leave them with the this or that that we gave Nikki and the crowd that night, which was renovate that house or renovate that man. So just something for you to think about, everyone.
I think we should also like just like make some suggestions for her next book, right? Which could be like Mansfield Parking Lot or
I told you Valley Forged.
Sure. There you go. Northanger Abbey. I don't know. Like that's just its own. No, right? Like its own. Is that how you say it?
No Finger Abbey.
See? There you go. Ooh. I'm just saying. Listen, so many options.
It's true. Also, but she did say that she wants to write Persuasion in Space at Betamax Live, which truly.
Sure.
If you are Nikki's editor and you are listening to this episode, please know that we agree. We support
we would
Persuasion
all like,
in
yes.
Space.
Yes. Yes.
And so that's it. I'm Sarah McLean. I'm here with my friend, Jen Prokop. We are Fated Mates, and you can find us every week in your ear holes on Wednesdays, wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can find show notes on our newly refurbished website at fatedmates.net. You can find us on Twitter at fatedmates, on Instagram at fatedmatespod. And if you like these unhinged bananas conversations and you too would like to be a part of them, you can join our Patreon at fatedmates.net/Patreon, which will give you access to the Discord where there are people ready to talk
this
to
all
you
day long
about banana pants romance whenever you like.
Have a great one, everybody. Stay safe with your electrical appliances.
Don't put food in your badge.